compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Hey, Dog Pound. Welcome to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura here with the victorious head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Coach, what did that win mean to this team?
I don't know if I can put that into words. I mean, it was a lot. I know it only counts for one, but I think it can be more than that for us from a standpoint of momentum and just kind of exercising some demons. Just we talk about how important the division is and how much those games count and just looking at how the history had piled up against the Ravens and 13-1 against that Harbaugh and Flacco were against us, and just not having won there since 2007. There were just so many things going against us, and for us to fall behind and not let the weight of all that keep us down. And the guys were able to, I think, battle back and stay together, and it was special.
Personally, for you, when you started your coaching career in the National Football League, working in the video department of the Baltimore Ravens, did you at that time ever even envision yourself becoming a head coach in the NFL, going into Baltimore, and beating the Ravens?
No, I was pretty much day to day back then when I first got started. The goals were there, but they remained deep down. But as I started to progress through the league, and I got to be a coordinator in New York, and the thoughts of becoming a head coach were there. Knowing that someday that I would have to go back, I'd have to go back to those places and coach. And there's great memories, and there were a lot of us that have ties to the Ravens. I think it was a special day for a lot of people.
Did you ever think that you'd preside over a team that threw for 457 yards in a game, or let alone a franchise record 1,154 in a 3-game stretch?
Yeah, when you look at the numbers, it's pretty amazing. But I think it's a credit to the offensive staff, in particular John DeFilippo, just had the vision of, hey, these are the tools that we have at our, these are our resources. What can we do with this group? How can we be successful? I know we've always talked about wanting to run the football, wanting to protect the quarterback. And that's important, and we still feel that's a big part of our success. But we're also, as we go in and game plan an opponent, if we feel the front seven is a group that we're going to have a tough time running the ball against, it's the old why would you pound your head into a stump, and that's we made that decision on Wednesday as we were kind of going through the tape, going, we might have to throw the ball 50 times.
We've talked about it every week, so I know you're not surprised by what Gary Barnidge has done for you this season. But he's done something that nobody in the Browns uniform has done at that position since Ozzie Newsome some 32 years ago. But were you surprised that he was able to catch the ball with his feet?
I didn't think he caught it, just because I saw where his hands were, and I saw just from a timing standpoint the ball drop. So I just knew that it would have hit the ground before his hands were anywhere near it. And then all of a sudden I pull it and he held it up. And I'm thinking, was this one of these where, because Hartline had done it a couple weeks ago. I think it was was it a home game? I think it might have been to Tennessee, where he caught a crossing route and ended up getting tangled up and pinned it to his leg and caught it. So, when he held the ball up, just thinking, hey, maybe it never hit the ground. And sure enough, when we looked at the replay, I mean, that one was hard to comprehend, hard to wrap your brain around, but it was an amazing catch.
All right, last thing from the Baltimore game. Travis Coons, your rookie kicker, has never kicked in the NFL. He has not missed yet. I'm calling him Mr. Perfect. He goes out there with the game on the line, boots it through the uprights. I mean, how is your confidence with him? And just talk a little bit about the kind of cool customer he is.
He is. Well, I did read about him this week that he's a real adrenaline junkie. He's done a lot of those types of things, motocross and all that. So I'm thinking that maybe just kicking game winning field goals is a walk in the park for him. And on that last drive, I had asked Chris Tabor, what hash mark would you like it on? And Chris just knows from kind of being around the kid and how he practices and charting that the right hash mark would probably be the best. But he went to confirm and asked the kid in the middle of the drive, and then he just said, wherever you want
whatever
you want it, coach.
So.
Take us inside the locker room. What was it like after that game for you, the coaches, and the players?
To me, that's just so priceless, that feeling. Just the look on players' faces after a win, just knowing that how much went into it, and just knowing how much extra this one was because of the circumstances, as we already talked about.
When you watch Peyton Manning, if you didn't know it was Peyton Manning, you just watched the ball in the air. You might say, how is this guy playing right now in the NFL? But why is he so effective still, despite the fact that he is where he is physically and in his career with his mind?
Yeah, I don't put a lot of stock into that. Still Peyton Manning. And you can say what you want when you watch the tape, he finds a way to get the ball there.
Absolutely.
And he's decisive. He knows what teams are in. He knows where to go with the football. He's got some playmakers around him. And this is certainly, I know what where they are from a point standpoint and all the numbers and what people are saying. Still Peyton Manning. And I think in Thomas and Sanders, they have two of the best wideouts in the National Football League. Will be a big challenge for us, especially if, and we'll see as the week goes on, if we'll be without Joe Hayden. But it's certainly not an offense that you would sleep on.
All right, you talked about Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. They're accounting for 60% of the targets, highest of any tandem in the National Football League by a wide, wide margin. Does that help you when you know where the ball is going? But they're still pretty darn good, and everybody knows it.
No, it's similar to their defense. What they do is they're very effective at it, and there are times ball gets thrown to guys that they're covered, and the ball's accurate enough, and they're strong enough to make the catch and be productive. So, no, there's a reason there's a good reason why those two have the success that they have. It's a heck of a tandem. And they have one of the best all-time quarterbacks thrown to them.
All right, Coach, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with the PNC Bank Film Breakdown, looking at Josh McCown's historic day over the Baltimore Ravens. And then it's your favorite segment, #AskPet. That's coming up when we return on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Al.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. It's time now for the PNC Bank Film Breakdown. I had the opportunity to catch up with the man of the hour, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and the current Browns franchise record holder for most passing yards in a game, 3 games in a row with 300 yards passing, and, of course, 1,154 yards passing over the last 3 games. That is, of course, your quarterback, Josh McCown. Josh, thanks so much for being with us. Congrats on the records. Congrats on the win. And let's talk about one of the key plays of the game, the last touchdown to Isaiah Crowell. And by the way, doing a great job getting the backs incorporated each of the last 2 weeks. So it looked like they played a cover 3. It looked like you wanted to go to Hawk first.
Yeah.
And then came back once they dropped into cover.
Yeah, we brought Hawk in motion. We had a route combination working on that side. And I really thought we were going to get Hawk really quick. And if not, then Travis right behind him. And man, they really pushed the coverage to that side. And so... Kevin O'Connell hammering to me all the time about, the progressions and the reads and getting the ball out and finding our backs. And it's something we talked about in the spring early on, is the backs are going to be involved in this passing game. And for us to be efficient and any good good passing game, is the backs are going to be heavily involved. And so it was just a product of that, just working through my progressions. Crow did a good job of understanding protection, getting back out and being available. We talk about that all the time. We need you in protection, but when your guy doesn't show up, you got to get out. You got to be available for us because, sometimes coverage is there and you need an outlet. So Crow did a great job of processing through that. He's getting better and better at that, which is very encouraging. And then obviously, it was just a little short throw for me. Crow made an unbelievable play, to catch and carry and get in the end zone. And so that gives you confidence that, you never know what can happen. We've seen it the last 2 weeks, out in San Diego as well with him. Is if you get the ball in these backs' hands, Flip talked about, just put it in play. Just get it in play and see what happens. These guys are going to make plays.
All right, I know we want to savor this one, but in the NFL, keeps going. How much are you looking forward to the challenge of the Denver Broncos defense that's playing at a very high level against an offense that's playing at a very high level?
You're exactly right. It's going to be a big challenge. These guys, they're really tough on defense. It starts with their front. We'll have eyes on them and know where Von Miller is at all the time, because he can be so disruptive. And, his ability to be disruptive helps those guys on the back end. Not that they need help. I mean, Aqib Talib, these guys are good players. And so we're going to have our hands full. But as we do every week, we'll come in, we'll prepare, and flipping the guys will put a great game plan together for us, and we'll do our part to practice and get ready to execute it.
Coach, as you see there, Josh McCown, very cerebral in his approach to the game. He's been around for a while. Is that what makes him so effective?
That's a big part of it, the experience. I mean, he's seen every coverage known to man, and all, you know, all the blitzes that you could that the NFL's been running since the time he's been in it. So to me, he's just so confident because I think he has a great feel for what we're doing. He understands the plays and what they mean and what they're trying to accomplish and what they're good against. And if we need to check out of something or flip a play over, he has the ability on a lot of them to do that.
How's his ankle? Is he going to be good to go?
Should be. I mean, he's a little sore. I think that's to be expected. I mean, he took some hits and did get the ankle rolled up on, but we're optimistic that he'll be good to go.
All right, let's dig into the mailbag for a little hashtag Ask Pet. We'll start with the Victory Cigar tradition. When did that begin for you?
Actually, it started way back when I was a high school coach. I coached with a guy by the name of Dick Beck, who's a big cigar smoker, and he got me hooked on it. And you know, we weren't allowed to smoke on school property, so we had a little spot that we went to after games on Friday nights, and lit up and reflected back on the game. So it started then, and then in the NFL, when I got with Rex, that we kind of got into it too. And sometimes it's tough when you're at an away game to find a good spot to smoke. I remember. You know, Rex was so excited after a win. I forget where we were, but he went out and couldn't wait to light up. And I'm walking up to him, and he's wondering why I have this horrified look on my face, because right behind him is this giant propane tank that says no smoking. So we moved him away from it real quick. But no, we've taken a lot of pictures.
Is there a particular cigar that is your cigar of choice?
I wouldn't say that there's a particular one. I said if I'm going to buy them, I like Ashton's. That's been my cigar of choice, but I'm not a cigar snob. If it's a good one, I'll smoke it.
All right. Besides your dad and Rex Ryan, who are the biggest influences for you in your coaching career?
That's a tough one because there's a lot. I've been blessed, very blessed, throughout my career to have been around some great football coaches. I mean, it goes back to my dad's assistant head coach for over 20 years, who's still coaching now, a guy by the name of Mike Carey, who to me could coach on any level. He's outstanding. Then I was fortunate to play for George Welsh at the University of Virginia, and just learned a lot from him. And then when I got in the NFL, I worked for Brian Billick.
All right. Finally, the biggest advice for young coaches who have dreams like you did of advancing all the way to the NFL.
Well, that's probably something I just touched on. Is the It's if you went to let's say you went to the AFCA coaches convention and gathered everybody and grabbed a microphone and say, okay, raise your hand if you want to coach in the NFL, you'd probably get a good number of hands would shoot up. And I think to have the ability to separate yourself, it really lies in the technology. And that's always been the advice that I've given the young guys, is immerse yourself in the technology that's available for the sport, whether it's the digital editing, the software that gets used, become an expert on that. Get to the point where you can teach that to other people. Whether it's the play drawing stuff, the playbook software, you know, whether you're using PowerPoint or a program that's specifically designed for it, Visio, the spreadsheet stuff, whether it's Excel or any other type of, all those types of things that are all getting used now. I think if you can become that's what sets you apart. That gives you a little bit of a niche, and then. The other thing, too, is guys are looking for jobs. I've always said, don't look for a better job, do a better job. And I think that's, you know, as kind of hokey as that sounds, I think that rings true. I've seen a lot of guys that they're more worried about, you know, the Scoop website and, hey, who's hiring who and who's going where and how can I get involved in that, and as opposed to, you know, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and work my tail off. And people will notice that, and the work will find me.
Well, it certainly has found you. Congrats on the victory over the Ravens, and good luck against the Denver Broncos on Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back on the Mike Pettine Coach Show, we'll sit down with Duke Johnson, a man who's got 15 catches and 140 yards out of the backfield in the last 2 weeks alone, when we return here on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Dog Pound, welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for our player interview, and my guest is Browns rookie running back Duke Johnson. Duke, how are you today?
I'm good, are you?
I'm doing very, very well. 15 catches, 140 yards, no running back in the NFL has caught more passes than you over the last 2 weeks, and you are second in the league in receiving yards at the position over the last 2 weeks. What's going on?
That's the element that I bring. We knew that was something that we wanted to do coming into this year. We really didn't get off to where we wanted to early in the year, but we're trying to pick it up now and just find different ways to get me the ball out of the backfield.
No running back on the team had 15 targets in the whole season last year. You have 15 catches the last two games. How big of a factor are you running backs, you and Isaiah Crowell, who's also contributed 5 catches for 100 yards over the last 2 weeks, going to be in this passing game going forward?
I think it's going to be a big deal just because you have to start game planning for us now. It's just not like you could line up and cover only the receivers and tight ends. I think both of us bring a different element. We're kind of making it tough on defenses. You have to cover every guy now. And if it's man-to-man, you have to hopefully get to the quarterback before someone gets free.
Let's talk about the running game for a little bit. It seems like the traditional ground game hasn't been going like you guys would want it to. But once you guys gotten that shotgun and started doing those inside handoffs, the inside zones, seemed to have a lot of impact doing that in the game against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us was we ran the ball when we needed to. End of the game, trying to milk some clock, get our team in great field position to kick a field goal to win the game. That was the biggest thing that I want to say we took away from it. Came out of the second half, and when we needed to run the ball, we were successful.
Not only are you making plays in the passing game as a receiver, which everybody can see, but only studious football people probably notice, you've made a big improvement, and I'm sure you'd feel the same way, as a pass blocker. How comfortable are you now at this point in your rookie year?
I'm very comfortable. Still a long season, a lot to learn. But at this point, I think the team does a great job making sure that we all are all on the court when it comes to pass pro. My coach make a big emphasis on pass pro, especially with me being my size. A lot of teams are going to want to blitz me and my ability to get out the backfield and create mismatches in the pass game. A lot of teams are going to want to blitz me. So it's a big deal for me, especially for myself, to show that I can.
All right, let's talk about the touchdown to Gary Barnage, because when you go back and you watch the tape on that, they brought 7 guys. That left 4 on the back end. We had 5 guys in routes. That means somebody was uncovered. That somebody was you. So let's take me into your mind for a second, because you're like, oh, my God, I'm uncovered. Throw me the ball. The ball doesn't go to you. Or you kind of like, man. And then you turn around and you see Gary Barnage catch the touchdown with his legs, and I'm sure you're happy.
I think the first thing was when we lined up. We lined up, and everybody was covered for a moment. And snap of the ball, if I'm not mistaken, Gary Mann was the one who blitzed also, and the guy that was covering me left me to cover Gary. And Josh felt the pressure, so he just got the ball out of his hand as quick as he could and gave him a shot. He gave him a shot to make a play, and that he did.
Last one for you, against the Denver Broncos. This is an excellent defense. How do you guys combat a team that has been so effective through the first 5 weeks?
They have a lot of guys that can make plays, especially up front, with Von Miller being the guy that we really have to make sure that we account for. But first thing first, protecting the quarterback at all times, giving him the opportunity to light up the scoreboard like he has been doing these last couple of weeks.
Duke Johnson, number one passing offense in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. You've been a big part of it. Great to see kind of your ascension here in your rookie season. Looking forward to many, many more big things.
Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be back with my final thoughts as we wrap up the Mike Pettine Coaches Show here on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Quick reminder, we've got you covered right here on News Channel 5, leading up to the kickoff against the Broncos on Sunday. At 11 a.m., we're going inside the Cleveland Browns with Dustin Fox and Sarah Carnes. And then at 11:30, it's Browns Countdown live from Dog Pound Drive, as myself, Andy Baskin, Dave Zastadil, and Mike Cairns are locking it down with the best pregame show in town. And as always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns on air and online with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, this Saturday, October the 17th, come together with thousands of Orange and Brown faithful at First Energy Stadium for the Cleveland Browns 5K presented by University Hospitals and in association with Michelob Ultra. All participants will receive an official race shirt, a bone-shaped Dog Pound headband, and an amazing finisher medal. Log on to ClevelandBrowns5K.com to register. And as always, log on to ClevelandBrowns.com to vote for our high school football game of the week. All right, folks, this one is the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. The number one offense in the NFL over the last 3 weeks against the number one defense in the National Football League. Can Josh McCown and John DeFilippo's offense keep their success going against a team that has been phenomenal? Keep this in mind. Josh McCown has more passing yards in the last three games than the Broncos have allowed in the entire season. McCown's thrown for 300 yards and multiple touchdowns in three straight games. The Broncos have not allowed a single quarterback to throw for 300 yards or produce multiple touchdowns on the season. This is a winnable game. I expect it to be a little bit more low scoring because their defense, frankly, is so good and their offense right now is struggling. In fact, the Broncos, while they are 5-0, have won two of those games without a single offensive touchdown. It's going to come down to execution, and when you get into the red zone, Browns, you've got to come away with touchdowns and not Mr. Perfect, Travis Coons, kicking those field goals. All right, we'll be back next week right here on News Channel 5 at 7:30 for another edition of the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, as we get ready for the Browns and the Rams. Don't forget to wear your orange and brown on Friday and show your pride, Dog Pound, and have a great night.
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.